Ready to do it?
Let's start with these guys. Okay, I'm going to call to order this meeting of the Senate Committee on the Environment and Natural Resources. Today is May the 4th. May the 4th?
Yes.
Today is May the 4th.
Be with you.
We have a special guest here at the dais.
See if Yoda's working today.
You got to get close to the mic.
He's not working too well. I might probably have to get new batteries for.
He was playing. He was great.
Ah, more can't you learn? Good that returned you have.
All right.
Yes. Well, thank you for returning, everyone who's here.
Something else wish you to do. Save this for another time. We will.
Okay. Thank you, Yoda.
Out of order.
Right.
That's right.
So we have a few public hearings and a couple of work sessions, and we'll start with our public hearings. We have some guests here. So I'm going to start with House Bill 2722. I'm going to open a public hearing on that, and if Representatives McLean and Vile would come forth. Beth, could you tell us what this is?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 2722 would make void and unenforceable provisions of a condominium or planned community governing document that imposes irrigation requirements while certain declarations related to drought or findings are in effect.
Okay, thank you. So, Representative McLean, welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I really appreciate you hearing our information about House Bill 2722. And many of you may remember that in 2015, I sponsored with Senator Hansel a bill that made it so that if we were in a declared drought, we would not allow HOAs to actually fine their members and for a certain amount of greenness that their lawns would be. And I worked with a group of HOA folks during the interim to try and carry that through so that they didn't have to just be conservation-minded during a drought, that they could actually be proactive in their landscaping and have an opportunity through their own rules, through their own membership, to be able to have a really proactive type of landscaping with natural plants during a non-drought time. So this is really following up second step of Senate Bill 1529. So this bill, House Bill 2722, actually went into a work group, and it gave the homeowners associations and the condominium associations an opportunity to really give me some good advice about how to do that. And on OLIS, you will find a letter that is from Gene Grant, and he is a lawyer that also worked for the HOAs and the condominiums and helped us with wording on this particular bill. This bill will extend the exemptions to both condominiums and planned communities by allowing their associations to determine their irrigation requirements are void and unenforceable while certain drought declarations and in conservation requirement or association rules that are in effect. And this act would authorize a planned community or condominium association to adopt rules to require reduction or elimination of irrigation and allow or require the replacement of turf or other landscape types of vegetation. And so I have an expert with me. This is a co-sponsor, and he also is very knowledgeable, as you well know, on HOA law. And I'd like Representative Vile to give you maybe some more specifics.
And I assume, Representative, that one of the requirements or conditions that the HOA people put on this agreement was that Mr. HOA be elected to this body? Is that
well, you
one
know,
of the conditions?
You're going to have to ask him about that. I just found him in the hallway, and he told me he had some good background, and and so he's here to give us his expertise.
Representative Vile, it's a pleasure.
Well, thank you very much, Chair Dimbrough, members of the committee. Rich Vile, House District 26, and I'm actually very proud to be a co-sponsor on the bill. I think this is a very good bill. As many of you or all of you probably know, when a condominium or homeowner association is created, it's created by this master deed or declaration. So we've got a set of covenants running with the land, and all owners are bound by those covenants, as is the homeowners association that operates the condominium or the planned community. Many of those have very strict requirements for landscaping, for keeping greenery in a place. And so we had this conflict in the law between covenants running with the land and the idea that we really do need to have an appropriate level of environmental concern. By adopting the provisions of House Bill 2722, it allows homeowner associations to ignore, in a sense, to override those requirements that are contained in the declaration without the fear of being sued by their owners for failing to enforce the provisions of a declaration. It's a very important bill. As Representative McLean, whom I've known, by the way, for about 25 years, just as an aside, when I was Fair Board Chair about 25 years ago, Representative McLean was the 4-H Chair in our county, and we've worked together for many years, so it's fun to work together on something like this. In any event, as Representative McLean talked about, this does go a little further than just to allow for that override, and it allows homeowner association boards then to adopt rules that permissive use of lawns and yards in a way that would also protect the water of that particular community. So I urge your passage of this particular bill, and I think it's a very good step in the right direction for homeowner associations.
Yes, Senator Bretcher.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Does a homeowner association have the ability to change covenants by a vote of the association?
Chair Dembrough, Senator Bretcher, yes, it does. But often with these kinds of provisions, particularly in the declaration, and just as an aside, the declaration is that covenant that sets the rights and liabilities of the owners. The bylaws, which set the operation of the association, most of the time the bylaws can be changed with a simple majority. Often the declaration can't be changed without a 75 or greater vote. And so because a lot of these provisions are in the declaration, it may be impossible to change those with that supermajority vote, and often is. That's why an override was necessary.
Well,
Follow up.
There's a process in place. Why would the legislature want to get involved with the process when if these folks were adamant about changing the covenants?
Can I answer that?
The process was in place. The process was in place when you purchased the property. Why can't they just live with their process?
Representative McLean.
Thank you. I was actually approached by three actual HOA members of, you know, associations that were having some trouble with the idea that they wanted to make choices on how they use their water. They wanted to have more water conservation, but that, again, with such a high vote of 75 or more, they were having trouble and they were being fined and they were being ostracized because they chose to actually have wanted to have a different type of landscaping on their particular site. And I think, as Representative Vial pointed out, the covenant followed the land. And so that there were actually, you know, some folks that it made sort of an equity issue about how old were the people that were still in some of the homes and they were having new families move in. And there was basically a feeling that in this particular issue that it was a resource and they wanted to be able to make choices about how they use their water. And, you know, I agree with you that there was a process in place, but it felt as if they wanted to be proactive on conservation of water, that they needed some assistance in making a difference between the rules and the covenants that would be more proactive for them in trying to do what they wanted to do on the landscaping on their own property.
Further follow-up?
Yes. I'm just troubled. I mean, when you have homeowners associations, you have that when you purchase the land, here's the rules, this is what I got to live by. If the legislature is going to constantly meddle in all of these homeowners associations or whatever, why even have them then?
I guess I respect your opinion, sir, and I appreciate you asking that question. And when I looked, the reason that I thought it was a valuable not overriding kind of bill was because if you look in where we have stepped in before, it's been when there's been energy issues. It's been when there's, for example, solar panels and those types of things. And so it seemed as if this was really conservation. It was really dealing with the kinds of issues that people are becoming more aware of and maybe wanting to be more proactive about. And so I would agree with you that we certainly don't want to step in on every level. But when it's energy, when it's resources, when it makes a difference in how people can, you know, basically budget their own resources, I think it's important.
Yes. Chair Dimbrell, Senator Barker, I agree with you in many respects. And in fact, having been in the business for 30 years of representing homeowner associations, we've resisted consistently the legislature's inclination to interfere. We had a bill a few years ago that would have required HOAs to allow clotheslines on the exterior of the building. We've had all kinds of bills. But there have been a few things over the years that both at the federal level and at the state level did, I think, compel the industry to recognize that as a policy issue, we needed to create some exceptions for those documents that had such a high bar that we couldn't get through them. Resource preservation was one of them. The ability to get a signal from a broadcast. So with respect to dishes, for example, that was one of the exceptions that we have in the law. And I think this one is consistent with that very high bar that we set. So I completely understand your concern, and in most cases absolutely agree with it. But in this case, the industry, I believe, is supportive of this as an exception to that principle.
Follow up. I know there's a process involved. I know it's a two-thirds. It's a higher bar. We have that here in the legislature.
Three-fourths
even. But still, if these are so very important to the home, I just can't. I think what is going on here now is this is a lot easier way to get it done than within the association itself. And I have a lot of respect for associations, for any other entity that sets their bylaws, and I just don't want myself to get involved as a legislature when they already have their rules and things like that. I just don't feel comfortable with that.
Great. Thank you, Senator. So we're not... We don't have this bill scheduled for a work session today. You know, I usually like to let a meeting or two elapse. So we'll have time to consider your points, and you'll probably have a chance to make them again. Yes, Senator Brzezinski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So, and Rich, this is really for you as the guru in this area. It does sound like maybe, to me, the Declaration is the Constitution for the, and that's why you have such a high bar. But should we actually maybe looking at how high that bar is? Should we be looking at having a requirement that it would be two-thirds versus three-quarters? I mean, I can see 75% versus 66% might give it a little bit more flexibility. I know that's not this bill. I know it's not something that's before us. But it seems to me that the reason that we're having these type of discussions here on a more frequent basis is because maybe – we have allowed that threshold to be set so high it just isn't obtainable.
Chair Dimbrow, Senator Brzezinski, that's a great question. And in fact, over the years, we actually have dealt with that on a number of occasions. For the most part, for non-condominium projects, we've now said you don't have to have a 75% vote. Many developers still do, but the law now allows you to set that at lower than 75%. Except for things like changing the age restriction in a project or changing the number of people that can occupy a unit, changing how your parking is allocated, some of those really high-level things that tend to be very controversial. I think that's worthy of continued dialogue. These are increasingly the way that our citizens live. In fact, we now know that in the Portland metropolitan area, the Tri-County area, there has not been a single-family project developed without an HOA for as long as anybody can remember, at least the last decade. And so continuing to look at the principles that guide these little mini democracies, I think, is a very good idea, and I appreciate the question.
Thank you. Well, thank you both very much for bringing this forward. Is there anyone else here? Do we have anyone else signed up? Anyone else who'd like to speak on House Bill 2722? Okay, then I'll close our public hearing. We'll see about scheduling a work session for this. If the bill prevails, I'll probably be assigning it to Senator Pozanski because he was the only one on our Judiciary Committee who didn't get an HOA bill today.
Yeah. So. What goes around comes around.
Okay. Let's jump down to HJM 5. I'm going to open a public hearing on HJM 5A and have Senator Beyer come up. And Beth, tell us what this memorial does.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Joint Memorial 5A would urge Congress to continue to appropriate funds for the Hanford Nuclear Reservation cleanup with a specific focus on funding for the remediation of groundwater contamination.
Senator Beyer, welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, Lee Beyer, State Senator. And I'm here because I spent the last year along with a number of our colleagues and your staff looking at the Department of Energy and what's going on there. And one of the pieces was looking at our responsibilities and, I guess, liabilities for the Hanford facility. As part of that, one of the things that we were provided was a pretty good thick compendium of the relationship of the federal government and the states of Washington and Oregon and all the interactions on the cleanup of that facility over the last 50, 60 years. And what became clear to me is that if we don't keep Congress's feet to the fire on this thing, they'll absolutely walk away from it and leave us with quite a problem. And so I think particularly at this current time in our history, it's probably well worth the effort to send the proverbial letter to Congress saying, hey, remember, you did this, and you should keep funding the cleanup and take care of your mess. And that's what this does, and I think it's well worth our effort and time to pass this bill and send it off. So that's it, Mr. Chair.
That's it?
That's it. It's a simple.
Thank you, Senator. Any questions about this? Okay. Well, thank you.
Thank you a lot.
Anybody else who wanted to speak on HJM 5? Okay, I'll close our public hearing. Oh, we do. I'm sorry. Ken Niles.
Yeah.
Ken Niles. Thank you. Welcome, Ken.
Thank you. Chair Dembrough, members of the committee, I'm Ken Niles. I'm an Assistant Director for Nuclear Safety at the Oregon Department of Energy. Thank you for the opportunity to testify today on House Joint Memorial 5. The Oregon Department of Energy supports this measure as amended. The Hanford nuclear site is an incredibly unique place. It is home to the world's largest environmental cleanup. Cleanup began nearly 28 years ago, and the best expectations for how long it will continue is another 40 or 50 or even 60 years. And while much has been accomplished, and much has been done to reduce the risk to Oregon and to the Columbia River, there's plenty more that needs to be done. Congress has so far provided an incredible amount of money for the Hanford cleanup, about $40 billion so far. And remarkably, it hasn't been enough. There's great need for additional funding so that additional cleanup programs can move forward. In the past decade or so, we have seen considerable progress in dealing with the contaminated groundwater at Hanford. From Oregon's perspective, contaminated groundwater reaching the Columbia River is the most likely pathway by which Oregon could see impacts in the future. In part because of Oregon's insistence, groundwater cleanup has moved quite up a ways on the priority list, and the groundwater plumes have been reduced in size and in many cases have been stopped from entering the Columbia River. But there are a number of groundwater contaminant plumes and specific contaminants that have yet to be addressed. Expansion of these treatment systems is needed, and for that to happen in a timely manner, Congress will need to provide additional funding for the Hanford cleanup. There are many other needs at Hanford as well. Earlier this spring, we provided comments on a draft interim cleanup plan that laid out $180 million of work at one of Hanford's five shutdown chemical processing facilities. That money would just be to put that Canyon building in a safe condition for the next few decades until it eventually could be torn down. Over the past 25 years, the Oregon legislature has passed a number of memorials and resolutions related to Hanford cleanup and Hanford funding. In each case, it has clearly signaled Oregon's continuing commitment towards what is one of the most significant environmental challenges facing our state. Thank you for your consideration of this memorial. Please support HJM 5.
Thank you very much. Any questions? No. Okay, thank you for that information. Okay, so with that, I'm going to close our public hearing on HJM 5A, and we'll get a work session scheduled for next week. Let's open our public hearing on House Bill 3051. And, Raquel, you want to come up? And Beth, tell us what this does, please.
Mr. Chair, members, House Bill 3051 would expand the permissible uses of the Water Measurement Cost Share Program Revolving Fund to install substantial repair, replace measurement devices on authorized points of diversion or appropriation to protect existing water rights or measure groundwater use.
Thanks, Raquel, welcome.
Chair Dembro, members of the committee, thank you for the opportunity today to provide testimony in support of House Bill 3051. Currently, the Oregon Water Resources Department has a cost share measurement program, which allows us to partner with water right holders to install measuring devices. This program, though, is currently only limited to surface water right holders. So this bill extends that opportunity for us to partner with water right holders, also to those groundwater users. So that's the only change here that you're seeing. And essentially, having water use data for groundwater is helpful in doing groundwater basin studies, as well as helping to manage the resource. So this doesn't create any requirements, so it's not changing or establishing any new measuring conditions. This is a cost share incentive program, and it would allow us to extend that opportunity to groundwater users. So with that, I'm happy to take any questions.
Okay. Well, I noticed this bill didn't manage to pick up a single no vote on the other side. Any comment? Any hope of our coming through and
putting a no vote on it?
Getting a no vote?
Sure. We can think about it. We got it. It's only public hearing. So.
Chair Dembro, I appreciate the point. It's a water bill, and it's unanimous out of committee and unanimous on the floor, which I think is pretty unique. So.
Yeah. Well, there must have been something in the water. So.
Perhaps.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Raquel.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. So I'm going to close our public hearing on House Bill 3051. We'll get that one scheduled as well. And we'll go ahead and start our work sessions. Hopefully, Senator Olson will be back sometime soon from his other committee duties. So let's open up our, let's take them in order, open our work session on House Bill 2316. And colleagues, you'll remember that this was the bill that had to do with cities smaller than 25,000 if they have committed to doing a periodic review, have the funding for the periodic review, and learn that they do have a need for housing, they need to do something about it. So.
Amen?
Yes.
Thank you.
Provisional Vice Chair Roblin.
Chair Dembro, I move House Bill 2316 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. I appreciate the authors of this bill making it a permissive issue for those cities, and once they decide, giving them the opportunity to move forward.
Okay. Senator Roblin has moved House Bill 2316 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion of the measure?
Okay.
Yes, Senator Trigger.
So my interpretation of this bill is that it's they can opt in or opt out. It's not a unfunded mandate for the cities. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay.
That's my understanding.
Get that too. That's my submission.
That took you a while to get there too. Okay. All right.
Okay. Any further discussion? Okay. Seeing none, is there any objection to the motion?
No.
Okay. Seeing none, the motion passes. I'll carry this this bill. And close our work session on House Bill 2316. Open our work session on House Bill 3055. Senator Roblin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Chair Dembro, I move House Bill 3055 to the floor with a due pass recommendation and appreciate the wonderful drawings that were made during the presentation.
Senator Roblin has moved House Bill 3055 to the floor with a due pass recommendation, and the record will show his appreciation of the outstanding graphics that convinced us to move forward on this. Any discussion? Yes, Senator Prezant.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, I'm going to ask for some assistance maybe from Beth if we kind of go over this again, because I thought there was some controversy as to on this. I'm just wondering if I'm confusing it with another bill that had
we've had two lot lines.
Yeah, that was another
lines
one.
And had the petition where you could then come in and petition for. Mm-hmm. That's not this
bill. Different bill. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Senate bill.
Any further discussion? Is there any objection to this motion? Seeing none, the motion passes. Anybody want to carry this? We'll have Vice Chair Olson carry it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'll.
Can we encourage him to get graphics because he likes to do that?
Please don't encourage him to get it already.
Maybe we'll even get him an assistant. For the
yeah. Okay,
with that, I'm going to close our work session on House Bill 3055A. No, 3055. And colleagues, that's it for the week. See you all next week. We are adjourned. See you all next week. We are adjourned.